serving spiritual seekers around the world. Unity Online Radio. Thank you for tuning in for this Unity Partner Program. Unity Online Radio partners with spiritual leaders from organizations whose mission and messages complement Unity's. We are pleased to bring you this program on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Thank you for tuning in for The Soul Directed Life with your host, Janet Connor. If you're ready to identify and connect with the voice of your soul, find a comfy seat, grab your journal, and get ready because this hour will be filled with ideas and questions you'll want to capture in deep soul writing. Now, here's your host, Janet Connor.
Welcome to The Soul Directed Life. The radio show that helps you notice, recognize, and respond to the calls bubbling up from your soul, not mine, your soul, so you can live a soul-directed life. It's July, and you know what that means? We have a new theme, and this month's soul call, this month's theme is a wonderful puzzler. It's the call to imperfection. Did that make you raise an eyebrow? Isn't the spiritual life supposed to lead us to perfection? Maybe. Maybe not. My guest today is Mary Hayes Greco, who knows a thing or two about the dance with imperfection. What we are about to hear has the potential to change us and change us at depth. To help that happen, let's ask the voice of the Tibetan bowl to call us to listen. And listen deeply. So let me tell you a wee little bit about Mary Hayes Greco. She's a highly respected spiritual teacher based in Minneapolis, and that's where I met Mary. I was teaching Writing Down Your Soul at Unity Christ Church in Golden Valley, Minnesota, and Mary Hayes Greco was introduced to me by my sister, Mary Elizabeth Connor. And we had such a fun chat. So I feel like we're just extending that conversation from a few years ago. Mary is the author of a delightful book, The New Kitchen Mystic, a companion for spiritual explorers. Spiritual explorers, that's us. And Unconditional Forgiveness, a simple and proven method to forgive everyone and everything. Both of them are published by Beyond Words, a Simon & Schuster imprint. Mary is the director of the Midwest Institute for Forgiveness Training. She has taught forgiveness workshops for over 25 years, and her work has taken her around the world. Mary, it's so wonderful to have you here. Welcome.
I'm so happy to be here, Janet.
So before we dive, and I do want to dive into the delicious, messy world of imperfection, would you just tell us a bit about you?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, I'm just amazingly imperfect. I feel really, really like an expert in imperfection. I'm kidding. I'm as perfect or imperfect as any of us, I guess. Anyway, I'm a homegrown philosopher. I'm a healer. I'm a mother of a 30-year-old and an 18-year-old and a grandmother of nine-year-olds, two of them. So I've got girls of every age. And I love nature, and I love the spiritual path. It's like, you know, God is my best friend, and I can't wait to run downstairs and sit in my chair in the morning and tune in and connect. So I guess that's the thing, that the relationship that keeps on giving. And I'm happy to be here in this format with you that helps me to open up to more and more understanding too.
Mm. Well, I'm smiling and nodding because I feel exactly the same way. The second my eyes open, even before they open, my first thought, my first breath, my first prayer is for the beloved, for this magnificent yes. experience of being here on earth as an embodied soul.
Yes.
Now, your background is really interesting to me because you hung out for quite a while at Hazelden. And I have heard such wonderful, wonderful things about the recovery programs at Hazelden. So I'm assuming that you learned oodles about the gifts of imperfection there. Would you tell us more about Hazelden and how it formed you and your work?
I sure will. Hazelden is an amazing place. For any of you who haven't heard of it, it's a treatment center, and it's one of the earliest pioneering treatment centers literally on the planet. There are people that come here from all over the world to study what's called the Minnesota model of recovery. And so it's been maybe 60-plus years from the time it was a farm by a lake in the middle of nowhere in cold, bleak, expansive Minnesota, where some very dedicated alcoholics were developing this powerful path of the 12 steps. And now it's a huge inpatient and outpatient treatment center, still a beautiful, beautiful place. But the thing about Hazelden is it is guided by some amazing source. And I feel like as soon as you drive into the driveway, something in you just relaxes and deepens into serenity. It's the serenity prayer. It's in the bricks, it's in the pathways, it's in the trees. The Serenity Prayer has been said there for over 60 years by thousands and thousands of people who were really seeking to end a terrible suffering and to come into a good pathway. So Hazelden is amazing, and I taught forgiveness retreats for recovering people about a half a dozen times a year for 16 years, and now one of my colleagues teaches it there. So it's my 8 steps of forgiveness are a beautiful dance partner with the 12 steps of recovery. So I look forward to being at Hazelden anytime I go to one of their Second Sunday programs to just deepen into that real amazing source of serenity that's there inside the 12-step program.
You know, your description of the way it feels just to drive into Hazelden is the exact same words that people use to describe arriving at Unity Village, mm-hmm. where I will be next week. It'll be my first experience. Yes, I'm so excited. And
it's a sacred place.
It's a sacred place. But I think based on what you just said, I now understand why. You said that it's the Serenity Prayer that has been said millions of times. Well, what's the heart of Unity Village? Silent unity, where someone is praying 24/7 since 1924. So the angels are totally present in these two, and they're not the only two on earth. I'm sure, you know, if we made an outline, there are hundreds and thousands of places like this on earth.
There are some places that just become saturated with light.
Yeah.
It just becomes so deeply saturated with the spirit there that they kindle an awakening for everyone who steps on the grounds. And these are two of those places.
So I want to start. We are going to get to forgiveness, a lovely, messy, imperfect. But first, I love your newest book, The New Kitchen Mystic. Talk about a great title, because I can just imagine somebody in their kitchen. They're totally messy kitchen. Maybe there's meals in process, groceries that haven't been put away. How about a few dirty dishes in the sink? And I can see them still having a mystical experience. Maybe at the sink, maybe at the cutting board, maybe walking across the room, smiling as their child walks in. So that's what I see. What is a kitchen mystic?
Well, a kitchen mystic is a person who can have a rewarding spiritual experience exactly in the middle of an ordinary everyday life experience. And so, yes, you're right. There you are in your messy kitchen, and you're, you know, trying to make a snack for your child, and you're trying to get supper on the table or whatever, and something makes you stop, stock still for a moment, and God's amazing silence just seeps in, and you, your vision opens up, and you're like, oh, I'm so lucky to be here. I'm so amazingly lucky to be here. And for me, the piece that I wrote, that was the title piece of the book, I talk about how that moment happens for me when I'm cooking and I slice into an onion. Because really, since I was a little girl, I have always seen God in an onion. You slice into an onion and there's this mandala there, this amazing, concentric, beautiful, watery, white, glowy thing going on inside an onion. And it really actually stills my mind and makes me pause and say, isn't this beautiful? And so I found that kitchen mysticism was a good way for me to say how I was living, because I wasn't going to church and I wasn't sure what I believed, but I knew that I am in an ongoing conversation between the God within me and the God around me. And that happens a lot in the kitchen for me.
Well, it's just astonishing to me that you're talking about the onion and you have a red onion on the cover of the book, because it has happened to me more times than I can count that I will be chopping onions. What is it about onions? Usually to make tuna salad. That's sort of my standard go-to. At least once a week, I make some rich, magnificent tuna salad. And it's always chopping onions, not the parsley, not the celery. In the middle of chopping the onions, I will simply know something, feel something, and it'll become something that I end up including in my writing. It might be a theme for this radio show. So, amen
to onions.
So you
too
onions.
See God in onions. All
yeah.
right. Very good.
God's
another onion
living, mystic. God's living in the onions. We'll have to talk about that on the Janet Connor, the Soul Directed Life Facebook page. I'd love to know who else is experiencing these divine downloads, the presence of the beloved, chopping onions or something else in the kitchen.
Yes, I have met some onion mystics, and I'll tell you, though, there are a lot of more people out there who see it in rocks. They've got to pick up that rock and commune with it, or seashells, or sunset. There's, you know, a different access point for every mystic, and not everyone is a kitchen mystic. Some people are forest mystics or sunset mystics or oceanside mystics. There's our access point. But, you know, the onion is good. It's available. It's there. It's cheap.
Yeah,
it's friendly. It's there every day.
House. Well, you've got...
Slice right in and go into meditation.
I love all this whole book, but there's one chapter title that completely cracks me up, and the chapter title is Everything is Not Under Control. And this, of course, is a tough lesson for those of us who were raised to be great control freaks. You write, this is one of my favorite quotes, life's creative unpredictability is both unsettling and delicious. Now, I so get the unsettling. Tell us more about the delicious.
I will. Well, I too am a recovering control freak, and I think that one of the reasons that I've struggled over the years with just relaxing, you know, just being okay in the day with myself, with things, is I was never feeling that trusting of life. And that trust of life is something I think I've been growing into for years and years. It may be my central soulful lesson. So it's kind of a trust thing. But here's the thing that I like about this is I just think that the universe is so funny. It's just so funny. It has such a sense of humor, and it really loves to mess with us when we're very attached to things. And I would say that, you know, at any given time in my life, I'm working on my idea, and then there's, of course, God's idea. And guess what? God's idea wins. God's idea always wins. But when you look at it, God's idea is always such a better idea than yours was. It just, you thought you were up to this, and then you find out, oh, no, actually, it was that. This is what's really happening. And that was good. So I'll just tell you a brief story about that, which is kind of ridiculous, which is that many years ago, I was scheduled to teach a class at a community college, sort of, you know, adult education thing. And the class was called Make Friends with Discipline. And it was based on a piece in my book, The Kitchen Mystic, about how, you know, basically how to become more self-disciplined, how to become disciplined as a person if you're not one. So I had developed this beautiful little course that was going to help people that were sort of sloppy or lazy or whatever pull their life together and develop more discipline. And I had this great little course, and I had the great handouts, and I had the great PowerPoint, and I was all ready to do it. And I show up with the class, and, you know, only three people are there. Oh, gee, there's usually a lot more than that, but here's three people. And I sit down, and I say, okay, so let's talk about, you know, what we're hoping to get out of this class. And the first person says to me, now remember the title is Make Friends with Self-Discipline, meaning let's get friendly with discipline. Well, the first person says, well, I'm here because I don't have any friends, and I need to make friends, and I just don't do it. You know, I don't have any discipline about getting out there and meeting people and making friends. And the second person goes, yeah, I don't know how to make friends either. I don't have any friends, and I'm shy, and I always feel like I say the wrong thing. And the third person said, yeah, I came because I need to make friends. Well, all three people, as you can hear, had misinterpreted the title of the course. And they weren't there to learn about self-discipline. They were there because they didn't have any friends, and they wanted to meet friends. So here am I with my course handouts and my outline about discipline, and I thought, oh, that's funny. Three for three of the people that showed up at this class need to learn this. Can I teach it? Well, I guess I'm going to. I guess I'm going to teach a class about how to make friends. So I just switched gears. I threw out my handouts, and I taught these three ladies how to make friends with each other. And 15 years later, the three of them showed up at another workshop. They had been fast friends for 15 years, and their life had changed that day because they came to this course and had misunderstood the title. And I went with it. It was unsettling, but funny.
That
and
is
good.
So beautiful. Because I thought the punchline was just going to be that you shifted your gears and quickly, but it was so much richer than that. Proving.
No, I just made up a course on the spot. I thought, well, I know how to make friends. Let's just serve these ladies. Let's give them what they came for and what they need. If you could do it, do it. So,
and this many years later, you following the divine plan turned out to be so incredibly important. So it all comes down to trust. You trusted.
It all comes down to trust and being loose with your idea. If God's idea is different, because that's the one to serve.
So in the end, it's about welcoming or accepting this path of trust.
I think so. I think, you know, the 12-step program and the Our Father prayer both teach us the same thing, and that is live one day at a time. Let's be one day at a time. Our daily bread is here, and we can really benefit by practicing trust a day at a time. And sometimes it's an hour at a time. if you're a worrier, sometimes you have to go, you know what, just for the next couple hours, I think it's going to be okay. And I think I'm okay. So, you know, in the old days, I think we were working very hard to become good people. We were, you know, raised in an old paradigm that said we're born with sin and we've got to work real hard to become a good person. But these days, I'm believing that I'm already a good person, and I need to have some fun with mastering my personality, which isn't perfect, and mastering what seems to be my duties and my karma, like whatever seems to be mine to do. And as they say in the 12-step program, we can celebrate our progress, not perfection, along the way. It can be about progress.
And how perfect for our theme. the call to imperfection. So let's, as we take a short break, relax and trust for a minute. And when we come back, Mary Hayes Greco is going to talk to us about contentment and the perfectly imperfect gift of forgiveness.
You are listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world. To support this ministry, go to www.unity.fm and click on Donate Now. Your contribution helps us broadcast messages of love and inspiration throughout the world.
Did you know that the Buddha gave us the formula to create a beautiful, abundant life? Did you know that Jesus gave us the formula to create a beautiful, abundant life? Did you know that both these masters taught exactly the same thing? And guess what? They did not teach the law of attraction. They taught the great paradox of prosperity. You can have anything you want. Why, you can have things you don't even know you want, but not by wanting them. Instead, put your attention on the vibrant presence of the divine within. Do that, and your life will change. It has to. That is the natural order. Want to crack the code on the great paradox? Get Janet Connor's The Lotus and the Lily, available everywhere great books are sold.
From mayhem to miracle, from disaster to divine, Rants to Revelations Radio finds the opportunities for spiritual growth in everyday moments. Drawing from current headlines to pop culture, Reverend Ogun blurs the lines between the sacred and the profane, bringing meaning to the meaningless, with guests who are dedicated to transforming the world for good. Join Ogun live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central for Rants to Revelations Radio.
You're listening to The Soul-Directed Life with Janet Connor. Do you have a question or comment? Join the conversation by calling 888-55-UNITY. That's 888-558-6489. Or post your comments on Janet's professional Facebook page, Janet Connor, The Soul-Directed Life, or on Twitter with the hashtag Soul-Directed Life. Now, back to the program and your host, Janet.
Mary Hayes Greco has a wonderful gift for us today. Pop over when the show is over to Janet Connor, The Soul Directed Life on Facebook. It's a professional page dedicated just to this radio show. You can find it in the link at unity.fm, The Soul Directed Life, in the description about this show. Or if you're at my website, janetconnor.com, you can click on that cute little thumb and it'll get you to the Facebook page. When you're there, of course, press like, but here's a little Facebook trick. If you're wondering, gosh, why am I not seeing all the news from this radio show in my news feed? You got to go back and open that like, that white light like box, and click on get notifications. It's just a little wacky thing that Facebook requires in order to see all the news. And you want to do that because after the show, I'm going to be posting all of Mary's books, all of Mary's websites, all the wonderful things she sends me. And join the conversation. Tell us if you experience God in onions or wherever. Where are you having your mystical experiences? Because all the names of everyone who says something on that Facebook page goes into the Tibetan bowl. And next Monday evening, someone's going to win a signed copy of the new Kitchen Mystic. So, Mary, you have many wonderful chapters, but there's one on living in contentment. Contentment. Now, there's a spiritual path. Contentment, that word, just the word alone kind of makes me go, oh. And here is a sentence that really got my attention. One thing I have learned is that experiencing contentment in a situation has nothing to do with the content of the situation. Now, that sounds to me like an invitation to embrace imperfection, is it?
Sure is. If you think about it, if you think about your experience with going on vacation, and people have all these wonderful images of what it's going to be like to go on vacation or to take this trip, and then especially with an extended trip that involves some traveling, you know, the word travel actually comes from the French word travail, meaning, oh, hard work. And you find yourself stepping from your fantasy life into, oh, I'm still in real life. Oh, there's mosquitoes here too, or it's too hot, or my child has come down with a toothache, or things just happen that you don't expect. So I would say that I'm kind of a whiner in my personality. I tend to be kind of a whiner, and it's easy for me to complain and you know, see like things are, oh, if only this would be true instead. Only if that would be true, I would be happy. And I wrote this piece in The Kitchen Mystic, the new Kitchen Mystic, about how I just really thought, you know, I'm going to be so much happier if I get out of the city for the summer and get to a little cabin on a lake. I've got to do that, and then I'm going to be happy. And I go to the cabin on a lake, and there's like eight things there that are bothering me. Because it's not about the content. It's really about your attitude and your capacity for enjoying yourself and finding the good where you are. So that was a hard won lesson for me that I'm still living into, is to say, you know, is there anything better than this? Well, but this is it. This is your perfectly imperfect moment. So let's breathe and let's deepen into the heart and let's see what kind of beauty is nearby and let's see how I can love this.
Like how I can love chopping the onions. Well, if that falls under the label hard, you've got one. There's one last question I want to ask you about New Kitchen Mystic before we dive into forgiveness, which is so important. But I can't leave the New Kitchen Mystic without asking you about humility. Now, most of us kind of scrunch up our nose and go, I don't want to talk about humility. I so rarely hear anybody talk about it and talk about it with love and depth. So would you talk about how humility blesses life?
I sure will. And I've really heard from a lot of readers over the years that the humility piece is one of their favorite pieces in the book. And I think it's because we grew up in a very limited understanding of what humbleness is. We were taught humbleness is basically being small or being putting yourself in the back of the line or not wanting to, you know, take up too much space or toot your horn or some kind of modesty thing. But I think I stumbled into a really workable and expansive notion of humility many years ago when I was in therapy at the time, and I was talking about how I was defeating myself, and I had self-defeating behaviors, and I was resisting success and goodness. And the therapist said, well, why do you do that? You know, why don't you let yourself shine? And I said, well, my parents taught me to be humble. We were, you know, the Catholic Church was teaching me to be humble and not to make too much noise, not take up too much room. And she says, but what do you think humility is? And I heard this voice, that famous soul voice that you talk about in your work, Janet. I heard this voice just come right up out from a deep space inside me. And it said, humility is taking your rightful place in the universe, taking your rightful place in the present life situation you find yourself in. So, in other words, there's no high or low, there's no front or back, there's no big or small. It's where is your place today, here and now? And sometimes your place is cleaning up in the kitchen after the party, and sometimes your place is standing up and leading the meeting and advancing a truth in the community. Martin Luther King used to always struggle about his leadership position. He didn't think he was qualified to lead the civil rights movement. Well, I think history proved differently, but he kept having to take that place because it was his place. And so, as you see, it was a big place. It was a big voice place, but it was humble for him to do that. So that's the first definition of humility that I explore in that piece. And then there's a second definition, which I kind of just talked about really when I was telling that silly story about switching gears and teaching a different class than I thought. And that's the definition of, and this is something I learned from my teacher, Dr. Edith Stauffer. She said that humility shows us the joy of serving the needs of others, being willing to serve the needs of others if we can practically do so. And furthermore, it's serving the needs that they have the way they have them, the way they understand them, not what we think they should be about, but what they are really, you know, needing. So in that case, humility might be your little one, you know, left their bunny at home when you went out on an errand and they're heartbroken because they wanted to have their bunny with them, their toy. And you could actually stop the car and go back a block and go back in the house and get the bunny and have your child is like happier for the next 3 hours. If it's practical for you to do so, you should serve that need. And in the case of that story I told, I asked myself, okay, so these ladies, they actually want to make friends and they want to learn about friendship. They're not coming here to take this discipline course. Can I help them with that? Well, yeah, I can. I got lots of friends. I know how to make friends. Okay, well, all right, moment by moment here. I'm gonna serve this need. I'm gonna teach them how to make friends and be friends. So that was practical for me. If they had asked me to teach them, advanced physics or something, I wouldn't have been able to help them. But if it's practical for you to help people, meaning you have the gift, you have the time, you have the finances, whatever is involved to help people with their needs the way they have them, then humility asks us to serve them.
Those are two profound definitions. Humility is taking your rightful place in the universe, and humility shows us the joy of serving the needs of others in the way they need to be served. Those are very profound. So I highly recommend the new Kitchen Mystic, but we've got to switch gears and talk about one of my favorite topics of all time, forgiveness. And you are most famous for teaching a very specific process of forgiveness. So your book has such a radical title, Unconditional Forgiveness. What is unconditional forgiveness?
Well, unconditional forgiveness means you forgive everything, everyone, all the time. You do it because you're committed to it as a path, as a pathway of spiritual illumination. So it's I kind of took this work, which was developed by my mentor, I took it to the next level. She was teaching unconditional love and forgiveness. Unconditional love is a source of universal energy that blesses us and heals us and gives us what we need to thrive. Forgiveness is releasing our expectations that are causing us to suffer. And unconditional forgiveness is to do that with everyone, everything, every day, all the time. To not say, well, yeah, I'm going to forgive this and this, but no, this one over here, that's too bad, I'm not going to do that. The harder it is to forgive something, the more benefit you get from actually succeeding at it, the more life and vitality and light and understanding you step into when you start forgiving things that are kind of unforgivable. So I have a little paragraph that I like about when I developed this attitude of unconditional forgiveness, I really worked on it for a while. I forgave everything, the traffic jam, the odious neighbor, the tantrum of my child, the weather, everything that I didn't like that was causing me suffering. I was learning how to love it all. For 15 years, I doggedly pursued the path of unconditional love and forgiveness. I was ready to roll with whatever life dished up, and it dished up plenty. I was committed to ending my own suffering by letting go of every disappointment, unrealistic expectation, grief, and attachment I ever had. Like an obsessive athlete developing a skill in a rare sport, like a born-again Buddhist on steroids practicing non-attachment, like a living serenity prayer on rollerblades, I pelted along, exhilarated by the new vitality released with every act of letting go. So, kind of a zealot. Kind of a zealot for a while. But I tell you, my path has not let me down. It has given me back everything I've put into it and more. And now in my 25th year of teaching unconditional forgiveness, I'm still learning things. I'm still learning things that make me just drop my mouth open with wonder. So I guess this is a lifelong deal.
Yeah, that's been my perception as well. I was absolutely certain I knew a thing or two about forgiveness, forgiving my ex-husband, the judge in the divorce. And then my son was sent to prison, not because of anything he'd ever done, but because a secret federal grand jury wanted him to name his fellow activists in the Occupy movement. And I was swept into a call to forgive the judge that sent him to prison without so much as a parking ticket. Oh my God, Mary, that was a discovery of a level of forgiveness I didn't even know was possible. So you're right. And forgiveness is the gift that absolutely, positively never stops giving.
That's true. Did you find, Janet, that when you entered into that very difficult story with a spirit of forgiveness, that you find that you became bigger than that pain, that you became bigger than that story?
I was transformed at a level I did not even know was possible.
Mm-hmm.
So here's to tie these two things together. Here's the question I'd like to ask you. So do you see a relationship between the soul's call to imperfection and the soul's call to forgive? I get the feeling these are very connected, but do you think they are?
Oh, I do, yes. Because there's this paradoxical dance that we're caught in as human beings who are on a path of self-mastery. I'm sure everyone listening to your show is a person who's really trying to step forward out of fears, who's trying to develop their talents, who's trying to move into life in a new and illuminated way. And we're so sincere and hardworking and brave, and yet we're always stumbling over our conditioning. We're stumbling over our old stories. We're stumbling over our old images of ourselves. So the path of forgiving others, forgiving life situations, forgiving God, and especially forgiving ourselves, this pathway, it takes our human story, our human experience, and it extracts the glory out of it. It takes it to a whole new place where then you see, oh, I see. I thought that I was defeated, or I thought that I was less than because of this bad thing in my life. But now that I have practiced forgiveness towards it, I see that I'm bigger than it, and that I have actually found a jewel, a nugget of wisdom inside this experience. So I like to say that the masterful attitude of forgiveness helps us to turn our wounds into our wisdom.
Yeah, wounds into wisdom, wounds into wisdom. That's put so beautifully. So how can listeners find you, your books, your workshops? Give us all the information, and I'll make sure to post it on Janet Conner, The Soul Directed Life.
Thank you. Well, of course, they can find my two books on Amazon. The titles of the two books are The New Kitchen Mystic and Unconditional Forgiveness, and you can get those on Amazon. You can also go to my website, which is www.maryhaysgreco.com, and Greco is G-R-I-E-C-O, maryhaysgreco.com, or forgivenesstraining.com. So there's two related sites that people can go to if they want to learn about what I'm up to. And there are workshops seasonally. We usually have a workshop here in the Twin Cities, four plus times a year. And there's one next weekend, actually. And, you know, I'll tell you, Minneapolis-St. Paul is a beautiful place to visit in the summer and the fall and the spring. And, you know, if you come in the winter, you're one of us. You're one of us. And it means you're a very special person, very strong. So our workshops are available seasonally, and you can find out about those. You can sign up for my newsletter on my website, and then you will receive a newsletter about 20 times a year that gives you the calendar and some short articles and related writings, poetry about forgiveness. So, and I do a 9-month program. I do an in-depth program, the Self-Mastery Program, which I'm currently gathering students for. It starts in January, and it's usually about a dozen people, and we go deep and wide in this stuff. We practice unconditional love, forgiveness, life purpose, and study all the parts and pieces of it. And people do a lot of deep healing work, and they do a lot of getting clear about what they're up to in this life. So that 9-month program, that the self-mastery program, is something for a few people who are interested in turning a big corner in their lives to consider. The one next weekend is a weekend intensive, Friday night, Saturday day, Sunday afternoon. So I hope to see some of you people on a little pilgrimage here to the beautiful North Country to clear something, to drop a rock, to dissolve a burden, and to bring more of your soul into your space.
Well, I will post all your books, websites, links to your workshops at Janet Conner, The Soul Directed Life. And I get Mary Hayes Greco's newsletter and look forward to it every time I see you popping into my inbox. We're going to take a short...
Thank you, because I like your newsletter too.
Thank you. So we're going to take our second and last break. And when we come back, Mary is going to offer us some very practical tips on our own dance with imperfection.
I'm Dr. Tom Shepherd, host of Let's Talk About It on Unity Online Radio. In my studies of world religions, I've repeatedly encountered two central spiritual questions. How do we make sense of life, and how do we live it more successfully? You're invited to explore these two questions with me in my new book, The Many Faces of Prayer: How the Human Family Meets Its Spiritual Needs. You'll be amazed at the remarkable ways people have learned to pray to their gods and to celebrate life individually and as communities of faith. Learn more at unitybooks.org.
Are you saying to yourself, I'm going to focus on me starting Monday, or right after the holidays, or on my next birthday? Well, we are here to say, don't wait another moment. Your health is the most important gift you have for yourself and those you love. Start now to become a more vibrant, healthy human being. Take that critical first step and join us every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Central on Awaken to Your Best Health, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
world as it is. Go inside to find my God.
Thank you for listening to The Soul Directed Life. Here's your host, Janet Connor.
Go inside.
Mary, I think we all sense our souls calling us to embrace perfection, look her in the eyes, dance with her instead of fighting her. So how do we recognize imperfection and begin a dance, begin a loving relationship with her?
I think we need to strive to see ourselves the way Spirit sees us, which is like a precious, wonderful child that's growing and learning, and we're doing our very best. And we're the only one that can be us, and it's not that easy. It's not an easy gig. So how about if you start the day by looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, "Good morning, sweetheart. You are so great. I am really here for you." And let ourselves be led and taught. We can learn some wisdom from the 12 steps and do this a day at a time. We can work for and celebrate progress, not perfection. And we can see what we enjoy and who we can serve well one day at a time. I'd like to share the closing paragraph of my book, Unconditional Forgiveness, because I really go there here. So,
please do. Please do.
Yeah. So here goes. As I complete this book and reflect on 25 years of my commitment to the path of unconditional forgiveness and the 8 steps to freedom, I can't claim sainthood or full enlightenment. What is true now is that I wake up most days in a state of pleasant anticipation, glad to be here. Life is good, difficult at times, but good. Everything I need is in front of me or right next to me. I can't blame anyone, including myself, for the things I don't prefer. It's enough in a day to do the next right thing. And if I don't know what that is, I pay attention to my breathing and whatever beauty is available until the next right thing shows up. It usually comes as an opportunity to share some kindness or loyalty with another human being. There is no need for unnecessary drama, because everyday life is glorious, ordinary, and gritty enough as it is. The part of me that was a frightened child is nestled safely at home in my heart, well-loved, well-tended, and well-guided moment by moment. No matter how ordinary, noisy, intense, and messy my current scene is, God's presence is knit into it and wrapped all around it like a cushion of unconditional love and quietude. As my teacher said to me once from the mountaintop of all her life experiences, "We don't know why they did that, dear. In fact, dear, we don't know anything at all." The peaceful twinkle with which that wise woman spoke that one sentence taught me more than anything else she said during our years together. She showed me that wisdom comes when you realize that even if you don't know anything for sure, even if you don't know what is going to happen in the next moment, life is fine. You are safe and whole and at home in the universe. When you walk out into the day, and as Rumi said, be a lamp or a lifeboat or a ladder, and know that whatever life presents to you, you will find the good in it. You have received the full gift of living the path of unconditional forgiveness.
That is so beautiful. And I'm laughing with your teacher, dear. We don't know anything at all.
The way she said it, oh my gosh. I spent 15 years studying with Edith, and she taught me so many things, and that was the big one. The way she said that, well, in fact, dear, we don't know anything at all. She was so good with that. She was so peaceful with that.
And it's so profound.
And it's
such a match to imperfection. Why are you fighting? Why are you struggling to create this perfect thing, to be this perfect? You don't know the magic of the life that the universe is laying out for you. It's exquisite. So send her my gratitude and wink right back. Because I know that I don't know either. Oh, what a delicious conversation this has been, Mary. You have really helped us kick off this fun, rich, and I think very important month on the call to imperfection.
And I want to thank you for having this, because I don't know, I think even just the title of your show and the call for imperfection, I think it makes everyone want to just sort of relax a little bit.
Exactly.
Take a breath and go, oh, okay. Gee, you know, I might be able to attain imperfection. I might be able to get there.
This one I can do, yay!
This other thing I'm doing is really, really making me tense.
So we're all going to take a deep breath and play for an entire month on the call to imperfection. My executive producer, Jihan Baraka, and I had the best time planning this month of conversations. Next week, Toinette Lippe is with us. You might not recognize her name right away, but you know her work because she was a publisher at Knopf, and then they invited her to create her own imprint, Bell Tower. She has published and edited many, many of our favorite authors, Ram Dass, Stephen Levine, and she brought out the first edition of The Tao that has now sold hundreds of thousands of copies. But then guess what? Toinette walked away. She walked away from a high-level publishing career for what? Asian brush painting. Her story is a many-faceted dance with imperfection. Then Christina Weiss is going to be with us. She's the author of Falling for Money. Why did she write that book? Because she had earned millions and then she lost it. And the thing that carried her back to prosperity was a partnership with imperfection. And then our month is going to close with Polly Campbell. She wrote the perfectly imperfect book for our Soul Directed Life book club discussion. Imperfect Spirituality. Imperfect Spirituality. Get your copy now. She'll be joining us on July 31st to talk about imperfect spirituality. Well, here's something imperfectly perfect that I'm doing. I'm leading my very first 3-day retreat at the Awaken Whole Life Center at Unity Village next week, July 17th to the 20th. I will be teaching deep soul writing down your soul, but we will then put this exquisite practice of activating the voice within in partnership with the exquisite mystical practice of walking a labyrinth. 2 mystical practices that activate, awaken the voice of divine wisdom within. If that sounds like just the perfect thing for you this summer, when we hang up, go to awakenwholelifecenter.com and register. And then come and visit me at janetconner.com, because the 2 creativity courses, the 4th thing your soul wants to express beauty. The 2 creativity courses are opening the first week of August. Plug in for writers, for people who feel called to express themselves as a professional writer. And Soul Expression, a course that activates all your clairs, clairaudience, clairsentience, clairvoyance, claircognizance, and in the process, awakens a level of creativity you did not even know you had. Come visit me at janetconner.com. So whether I see you next week at Awaken Whole Life Center, next August, at the creativity courses, I know I'll see you next week here on the Soul Directed Life. Until next week, may you hear and heed the calls bubbling up from your soul and live a perfectly imperfect, soul-directed life.
I will leave this world as it is, go inside to find my God.
Thank you for listening to The Soul-Directed Life with Janet Connor. To activate the ideas you heard today, grab a pen and explore them for yourself in deep soul writing. Please post your comments about this and all Janet's shows on Facebook at Janet Connor, The Soul-Directed Life, and on Twitter with the hashtag Soul-Directed Life. Join us every Thursday at 1 p.m. Central for live discussions on The Soul-Directed Life. This program is brought to you by Janet Connor, author of the bestseller Writing Down Your Soul, and The Lotus and the Lily, the first book to unravel the great paradox of prosperity. Learn more about Janet Connor and her Your Soul Wants Five Things learning series at janetconnor.com.
Go inside to find my God. Go inside to find my God.
Ever notice how the funniest things happen when we stop taking ourselves too seriously and step out boldly? Listen to Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed as these unlikely saints administer a refreshing dose of laughter and love that will inspire you to step out boldly and experience the funniest things. Join the discussion with Daryl and Ed live every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Central Time on Funniest Thing, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Inspiration only takes a moment. Take a moment now to reflect on this message from Daily Word. Is something in your life causing you concern? Don't be discouraged. The presence of God is peace and harmony, healing and creative ideas, is with you every moment of every day, providing the help you need. In quiet moments of prayer, let go of any concern. Anchor your trust deep in the realization that with God all things are possible. Never doubt it for a single moment. You are a spiritual being, blessed with all that you need for happiness and fulfillment. God's wisdom will guide you. God's strength will help you do all that you need to do. And God's joy will lighten your heart with hope and courage.
This meditative moment is brought to you by Unity.
Have you ever considered that everything you think, say, and do is a prayer to the universe? What would your life be like if you activated the power of yes? Join Reverend Beverly Molander and her exciting guests on Affirmative Prayer, Activating the Power of Yes, to find out how they activated the power of yes in their lives, their communities, or even the world. If they can do it, you can too. Listen to Beverly Molander and her guests live every Monday at noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Affirmative Prayer, Activating the Power of Yes, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.